This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit in your home.
Hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Well, hey there, families, and welcome to the Fresh Start Family Show. Today's episode is going to be a good one, you guys. Terry and I are interviewing Nate and Jenna Strubar, who are just such an incredible family from Maui, Hawaii, who we stumbled upon a few months ago on the beautiful internet and just fell in love with what they represent, what they're doing in the world. And they have been kind enough to agree to be on the podcast today and spend an hour of their day in paradise with us. So welcome, Jenna and Nate. So great to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Okay, you guys. Well, today we're going to kind of introduce you, of course, to the Strubar family and tell you all about the goodness that they are doing in the world. We're going to tell you all about their blog and the kind of four pillars of their beautiful family, the way they're really choosing to live, the way they're choosing to raise their family. And I think you guys are really going to benefit and be very inspired by what they're doing. So one of the categories that they're going to teach, talk to us about is healthy eating. Jenna, you have a cookbook and that is so incredible. And you guys are just leading this amazing plant-based lifestyle that is just awesome. I can't wait to hear more about that. Number two, they're going to talk to us about simple living and how they've adopted the best they can, a minimalist lifestyle that's really helped them just have a great family foundation. Number three, they're going to talk to us about how much time they spend outdoors and travel. And then number four, we're going to talk about their strong faith and how that has really helped them have a mission to parent with compassion and grace and kindness and connection and how that honors their faith in Jesus.
Love it.
So Jenna and Nate, I'm going to pass the mic to you guys and let you introduce yourself. If you could just tell us your story, tell us a little bit about your past, you know, how you got to the point you are today. I saw a little bit about how you guys fell in love super young too when you were 19, right? Terry and I have been together for 25 years, so I think we're probably in the same...
Wow.
Yeah, so tell us all about you guys.
Yeah, we are high school sweethearts. We actually met in sixth grade, started dating at 16, and got married at 19. So we've been married 14 years now. We grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and then a few years into marriage, 11 years ago, we made the move out to Maui, and that's where we started our family, and it's been home ever since.
Nice.
As far as our journey with gentle parenting and mindful living, it started with our son. We have two kids now. We have a 9-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. And when our son was born, we just kind of thought, like, we'll just do things the way everyone does it. And the only way we know or the only way we see modeled for us. And I very quickly realized that was not working for us. You know, we just had like a sad baby and, you know, like I was like loving motherhood. We were both loving parenting so much, but we just felt like, gosh, the way we're doing this is not, we're not thriving.
Yeah.
You know? So, it was when our son was maybe a year and a half, close to two, and I remember this moment, I felt, you know, like convicted, like, okay, we're making a change. He was frustrated with something and he hit me. And I was like, so offended, like, oh, this, yeah. one-year-old hit me. How dare you? And, yep. You know, this is kind of like our first thing, like the first thing I would need to discipline him on. And I thought at that point, like, we would spank or, do all the timeouts, yeah. those things. And so my first reaction, of course, is anger. And then I should spank him. And then I just kind of pause, like, I'm going to hit my child for hitting me. Right. And and I'm going to hit him because I'm personally offended. Like, hold yeah. up, like, this isn't going to work. So,
what an amazing pause though you had there to even acknowledge that though.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful that it was like with a baby who clearly was just acting his age and needed tools to handle his frustration, because it was like such an eye opening moment of like, this, it would be so silly for me to spank him for this, Sure. So,
yeah.
So yeah, then we started just diving into like, what can I do besides time out or a spanking or, and we just realized there is this gentle parenting world that I had never even heard of. And that just changed our lives. And I think from there, we just realized we don't have to do things the way we've always seen.
Right.
And we get to ask questions about everything, and we started doing that, and I don't think Nate realized how far that was gonna go. Like, hey babe, we're gonna like, let's be vegan. Hey babe, let's start doing all this other stuff. And
it was basically like, hey babe, like, let's restructure everything that you ever thought you knew about parenting and having kids. I was like, oh cool.
Oh, I love it. And it sounds like you're just like, cool. All right, babe. I trust you.
And that's the thing. I really did trust her.
Nice.
Because I did, she shared that moment with me, and I was so proud of my wife of just having the awareness to stop and have that pause and think about it for a sec. So
yes.
I always trust my wife with her ability to stop and think. And then when she has thoughts, it's, if you know anything about my wife has a brain that's just like on fire all the time, just thinking of so many things. And so she plans things out and she goes into lots of depth about her thoughts and stuff. And so when she comes up with an idea, it's usually not a spur of the moment. It's like, oh, you've been thinking about this for a very long time, haven't you? And she's like, yes, yes, I have. I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah.
Nice. Oh, I love it. And so... So that was, your oldest is 9 now, is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was probably maybe 7 years ago.
Cool.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah. I remember that kind of equivalent moment for us. And then after that, you just start having all these other breakthroughs and these other transformations in your life and these things that you thought maybe weren't possible or like... I don't know. It takes you down all these roads that I guess you just never expected. And it comes from trusting one another and stopping and kind of checking the status quo and saying, I'm not just going to do it that way just because that's what either everybody else does, or that's because that's the way my parents did it, or whatever the reasons are. It's like, we want something better. This is our life and we get to choose. And let's do it our way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. And so, Jenna, it sounds like you decided to just go on and start building a community on Instagram. Is that how it kind of started? I mean, you sharing what you were learning as you went, or and then turned into a blog, right? You guys have a blog?
Yeah. Well, I don't even think Instagram was around way back then. I don't really even know how... A following has just kind of grown slowly, organically. And I think that it wasn't until our kids, in recent years are the age they are now where, we've kind of been the odd ones out for a while. And it's, definitely lots of conversations like, why don't you do this? And this other way is biblical, or this is right, or this has worked for decades or hundreds of years. And now we just feel like we're at this point where we're like, okay, like, look at the fruits of our labor. Like, our kids, they're so great. Like,
amazing.
I'm a little biased, but they're some of the most wonderful kids I've ever met. And just to be able to say like, yeah, like this is working, you know, like it's not passive parenting. It's not like we let them walk all over us and raise disrespectful kids. It's about getting to their hearts and, you know, which has just led us to, you know, all these other areas that we're passionate about. It's like, let's get to the heart of this. And, you know, like we get to question everything and then say, like, why do we choose to do something this way? Why do we think we need a certain size house? Why do we think we need cars that are, you know, only 2 years old or whatever the thing is?
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Before we dive into like all the specific points, just looking at them as a whole and hearing how you're acknowledging, and we feel this sometimes too, where you feel like the odd man out or you feel like the outcast. Your things that we're talking about today, healthy eating, simple living, time outdoors, and faith in a God who is the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't it seem so, like, that would be weird? Like, that would be weird?
Yeah.
Like, I think it just is further acknowledges how far the world has gone somewhere, and we're just basically resetting ourselves in something that just actually feels so right.
Yeah. And it like gives me goosebumps, makes me emotional hearing you say that, like, you know, you're at this point now. It's so cool that you guys are on a similar timeline as us. Cause we, you know, we discovered the work of positive parenting, you know, I think it's been about 8 years cause our daughter is 11 and a half now. And we discovered it when she was 3 and we had been doing things very differently. God blessed us with like the most strongest, beautiful, spirited little girl. And we just didn't get the memo for 3 years. And so we really did a 180, but it's just such like, it's such a gift now to be almost a decade in and to be able to show others, right? Like, look, here's the seeds of they've blossomed. Like, but there's so many parents who are still in the seed planting phase, right? With the really little toddlers. And they're just like, just today in my membership group, we just had a big discussion around fear and just got really honest with like, how scary it can be and kind of in the beginning for people. Cause you're like, is this going to work? Like, what if this doesn't work? Like, what if I just need to revert to the fear and force and traditional way of doing things? And it just really can mess people up. And so I love that you guys are now another example that I can point to and just say, hey, look, this is a family that's been practicing this for like, you know, 8 solid years and look at the garden that's been produced. Like, you got to have faith in the seeds that you're planting. You got to make sure they're of the soil is incredibly strong and, just trust us, like trust. Yeah. That it's going to pay off. And the beauty that comes down the road is like unreal, right? I mean, the relationships, the connection, the trust, the ability to problem solve creatively and with compassion and to be confident as you can approach anything that you need to work out with your kids and know that you're going to do it in this kind way that they're going to learn and they're going to, you know, act differently tomorrow. It just feels so good. And I just love that part that you said. So,
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get right into it. And if you guys could just guide us in each of these areas about what you've learned and how kind of each of these areas you feel like really helps you have a thriving family. I know our listeners are going to love soaking up all the goodness you have. So talk to us about healthy eating, Nate and Jenna. Terry and I went pescatarian, I think, 3 years ago now. We're not full vegans, but we are, you know, we try to live a plant-based life as much as possible. But gosh, looking at the way you live, the recipes, the dinners, just the whole foods you're putting in your kids, it just lights me up. So talk to me about this. Was it a hard transition? Is it hard now? Or are you like, is this easy? Like, tell us everything.
Yeah, I think that the food, I mean, I think with everything, it's all baby steps, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it can feel overwhelming to look at all this and feel like, oh, I have to change my diet, I have to change the way I parent, I have to change the way I spend money, I have to change the way I communicate or speak with my spouse. Like, it can feel like a lot, but I think if we just take it down to baby steps and remember, like, we're going to do things the slow way. You know, it's not about quick fixes. It's about, like, you know, even with parenting and discipline, like, it's not like a quick discipline, you know, it's like, let's have the conversation. Let's get to the heart. And I think that we've tried to take that same approach with the food stuff. It's like, we started with like, okay, let's eat more than 2 vegetables a week, you know, like, we went like vegan overnight just because, like Nate mentioned earlier, I'm a bit of a researcher and I went down the documentary rabbit hole and was like, throw everything out. Yeah. I can't do it anymore.
That's awesome.
You know, Nate woke up and was like, oh, we're vegan the next morning.
do I get a tattoo? Like, what do I get? Do they send t-shirts?
What do we do with all of this meat and our freezer and the fridge? Like, she was just like, it's gone. It's gone already. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So, but, you know, like, still since then, it's been a journey, like, of like, okay, how can I do this healthier? It does, you know, like, just being vegan doesn't mean healthy. Like, Oreos and French fries are vegan. But, and it's not even about that. It's about just, like, putting things that God made into our body instead of chemicals and processed things, you know, that are not going to give our kids a chance to thrive and that are crippling their immune systems and, you know, disrupting their emotions, especially when they're in school and they're, you know, trying to focus and learn and navigate all the things, you know, that come along with that. Like, we just want to fuel their bodies with good things that give them the best chance at thriving, you know?
Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you could end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
Awesome. And you've taken it to a level now. You actually have a cookbook. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I'm working on a second one right now too, of just like festive fall Christmassy recipes, because I remember my first hard moment with plant-based eating. I was trying to like recreate or like veganize this pumpkin recipe, like pumpkin dessert thing, to take to a Friendsgiving, and it was like a total fail, and I was crying, and then I was like crying, but there was a dead turkey there, and but then I realized the next morning I was pregnant, so that kind of explained a lot of things, but just feeling like it's overwhelming to try to like okay, I'm supposed to eat healthy. Now what? Do I have to like go through and have 20 Pinterest fails and then, you know, waste all this money and time and give up? And, you know, it's a lot of work to cook and to, you know, make food for your family. So I'm just like, I want to do all the recipe fails for you. And here, just...
Here's a cookbook that explains how to do it very well and very easily. Like, the reason I love Jenna's cookbooks is because I can go through it as a dude who doesn't cook that often. And because that was, I used to cook a lot, but cooking, you know, plant-based kind of scared me a little bit. And then Jenna did all these recipes and I've been able to just like open the recipe book and do it myself. And it like turns out great every time. I'm like, oh,
yes,
wow, it's actually really easy to follow. It's kind of like, yeah, like fist pumps. Like, yes,
nice.
I did it.
That is awesome. Oh my goodness. Cool. And what would you say, Jenna, like, for the, like the busy, obviously I'm asking for myself here. Let's just say like, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I think maybe your answer is going to be, you have to allocate the time, but like, how do you fight that? Because it's like, it just is time consuming, right? But I, like you said, it's not about the quick fixes. It's just a, maybe like, are you good at like meal prepping on Sunday? Is that something you'd recommend?
I think it just depends on the family and your schedule. You know, working moms, I think that like meal prepping once a week is an awesome idea. Just like, I feel like just don't put a lot of pressure on yourself. I talk to so many people who think they need to prepare like this 3-to-5-course meal. And I'm like, just make a pot of soup. Like,
yeah.
Just, mm-hmm. you know, like sneak some veggies into the things that your kids already like, or your husband already likes. You know, if you have someone who's resistant to vegetables, just like puree some spinach in your smoothie or in your pasta sauce or something. And just, it is really just about prioritizing the things that matter. You know, I mean, they say the average American watches like 5 hours of TV a day or screen time a day or something. Like, give up, you know, an episode of something on the TV or, you know, 20 minutes of Instagram to be able to just like quickly put something healthy together. It doesn't need to be elaborate, just, you know, real
awesome.
Food.
Okay, last question about healthy eating, and then we're going to move on to simple living. But how do you handle, like, kids being out in the world? Are your kids homeschooled, or
they're homeschooled.
They're homeschooled, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, if you go to parties or neighborhood get-togethers or play dates, are they, like, cool?
What happens when they smell the chicken nuggets?
Yeah. Well... I think this really depends on your kid because I've heard moms and dads handle this lots of different ways. Our son, our oldest, he has a very strong moral compass.
Yeah.
And when we're at parties and things, I say, you know, like, you can have a slice of cake or some sugar or a lollipop or whatever the thing is. The only thing we're like a hard no on is like meat, at least for now. Like, we'll let them decide that because they're a little bit older. But, he just is like, he'll be like, is this vegan? And he'll be like, it has one egg in it. And he'll like straight up pass up birthday cake. And Nate and I are having the birthday cake. Like,
that is just awesome.
He has a very strong moral compass. And our daughter, I don't know. It just depends on what it is. She cares sometimes and doesn't other times. But also, I think they know, like, with sweets and stuff, like, that, how it makes them feel. Like, I remember that time they ate cake at that birthday party and I got a tummy ache. Like, I don't think I want this. Can we just make something different, a special treat when we get home instead? And I think they're at the age now that we can talk logically with them about that. But
that's,
I mean, you
awesome.
Can't just send every kid into a birthday party and expect them to have self-control around sugar, because sugar is addicting. Like, I mean, even adults, most of us struggle with, controlling our sugar intake. So
that's so funny. Yeah, our kids are the same too. Taryn has, like you said, a very strong moral compass. We just went to Ireland a few months ago and we went to like our family farm that like, you know, my cousins still own, and they had these like giant, massive cows that were the most beautiful things on the planet. We were like obsessed. They were so sweet. And Taryn, as soon as he saw them, he was like, oh my gosh, I want to give up meat, Mom. Like, that's it. I think I'm done. And Stella was like, where's the hamburgers? Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at them.
Well, like, yeah, we were staring them like right in the eyes. Like, they would sit there and they were like connecting with the kids. And yeah, my son, he was very like moved. Although I will say this past weekend, I was camping with our daughter. And there was like a luau, and there was like a pig on a spit, and she came up to me and she was like, "Dad, there's a whole pig, face and everything, over there," and I was like, "What are you gonna do?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna eat that." And I was like, "Oh wow!" And she walked up, and they were like, "What would you like?" And she's like, "I'll have the chicken." So she like, you know, it was a step though. I mean, definitely. Okay. And I let her choose but she saw it. And I think connecting with like where it came from and what it was like she was like, whoa.
I think that all comes down to modeling, right? Like, you know, we make joke with her or whatever, but I know by us just living or modeling that lifestyle, you know, when she does turn 18 or go, you know, there's a good chance that she may choose that lifestyle because she's just watched it, you know, so it's so beautiful. It sounds like you guys, the modeling part is just so influential. You being fulfilled with this beautiful vegan lifestyle of abundance that you share with the world so beautifully is so influential on your kids. You know, when you model so well and you share the goodness, you don't have to force, you don't have to make them do anything. They just naturally want to. So,
well, and I think what you said about connecting too, like, I think that's like our goal. Like, for us, it's plant-based works because it's what works for us. But I don't think that's like the say all end all be all. I think, you know, we see families, we have friends who are hunters and they take their kids and the kids, you know, they fish, they gut the fish, they do the whole thing. And there's this new like level of respect and understanding of what it took to get food on their plate and what it took, you know, to like that animal to like give up their life to eat it. And I think it just brings this whole new awareness and mindfulness and respect and gratitude for like this food that's on your plate. You know, even gardening can do that. Like, I planted this from a seed and I watered it and it took weeks. You know, I think that just instilling that in our kids with food is important regardless of what, you know, what type of food you eat. So,
oh, I love that, Jenna. Such a good point. All right, let's move on to number two. Talk to us about your goals to live simply. What does that look like in your home and in your lifestyle? And what have you learned over the years? What shifts have you made? And how do you think it's benefited your family?
We love simple living. That's like one of my favorite things. I think it's funny that we've come into this era where it's like a battle to fight against stuff, you know, and you speak to like our grandparents' generation and, you know, like we just finished reading Little House on the Prairie and Laura and Mary get these like tin cups for Christmas and they're so excited for a tin cup. And it's like, wow, things have changed, you know, and it's like you have to fight the consumerism at Christmas time now instead of hope that you can give your kids one little thing. But I think that our goal is to not be distracted by stuff so that we have more time for the things we care about and to instill a heart of gratitude in all of us instead of this attitude of entitlement and because it's there, because I saw it at the store or because my friend has it, I want it too, or I should get it too.
Yes. So. Beautiful. And so over the years, it seems like you've really tried to like minimize like toys, for example, and, just really try to keep things like, imaginary play. I've seen you share that like you're really into like imaginary play or, trying to think what else you've shared, like, things that like building, right? Like I think I've heard you say you love Legos and building blocks that you guys made with your own hands and dress up and obviously just being outside, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it stemmed from necessity because when we had our son, we were living in like a 400 something square foot, one bedroom ohana, which is like a little cottage that we call like a cottage in Hawaii. And we had two kids there in our nice. One bedroom place. It's like normal here.
Yeah.
I love that actually like the culture and lifestyle here is really simplicity is at the mm-hmm. heart of it. Mm-hmm. So I think just that culture shift and then like we don't have room in our house for
stuff.
All the stuff. And then it just kind of, yeah, it grew from there. And then when we did move into the home we're in now, which feels huge to us, but it's still like under 1,200 square feet.
Yeah, 1,200 square feet.
You know, but still, it's like we just want to be really mindful of everything that comes into our home and buy quality things yeah. and ethically made things when we can and things that are going to last, you know?
Awesome.
I think around Christmas time, it cracked me up, like when our kids were a little bit younger. We would, you know, buy these really cool things, what we thought they were going to be so interested in and all this stuff. And then, you know, 30 minutes after they open the present, we're like, you know, oh, isn't this so cool? And then we find them on the floor, like playing with the wrapping paper in the box. And we're like,
yes.
Huh. Yeah.
Like we spent so much money on that thing. And then like, and literally like a couple weeks later, like they're not even interested in it. And it was
yep.
like,
yeah.
What? How can we live simplistically even in Christmas time? Like, and reevaluating what that looks like, you know? Because culture tells us go crazy, buy tons of gifts, do all this stuff, and you know, you get kind of caught up in that because you're like, yeah, like I want to be a good parent and buy all these, you know, awesome things for my kids, and but then you start realizing that like they're really just like. They're like as kids, they're into simplicity more than we think they are. And so it was interesting to just watch our kids like do that, you know, and they did it at a young age. And
yeah.
since we saw that at a, when they were young, we were able to kind of just start like doing Christmas in a simple way. And this is just kind of how they've grown up and how they've known it. And so they've known that their gifts are like very intentional and on purpose and we're not just spending frivolously on you know random things just to fill the you know the space under the Christmas tree. So
yes, or the stockings.
right.
Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I know. I remember growing up with stuff like in my stocking. I'm just like, what? Like what? Like me and my brother would look at each other and be like, what the heck is this?
Right. Oh my gosh. And yeah, so listeners out there on the blog and Jenna's Instagram, she shares like all of her recommendations for consciously created fashion and toys and just you have so many good resources that are just great recommendations. And yeah, you guys are just so inspirational in that area. Terry, we have work to do.
Well, I was going to acknowledge that everybody is somewhere along the journey, and whether it is with healthy eating, simple living, things like this, it is easy to be like, oh man, I'm so far from that. I suck, or I can't get there. But I think we're all somewhere on the journey. And even just like hearing you guys talk about it, I wouldn't describe me as like simple living, but I have solidified some things in recent times where it's like in myself, the things that matter to me, I'm trying to like translate that into gifts for the kids. So if it is a rad experience, like we're going to go somewhere. Okay. That gives me an instant yes. If it is a creative outlet, like, or something like, I'll buy myself cameras, I'll buy my kids guitars. Well, that was my next category. But drums for my daughter, take them to Guitar Center. Like, if it fits, I'm like, all day long. It's something that's like a physical activity, like, you know, surfboards or fins or like stuff like that, I'm like, cool, I'll pour into all that stuff. But if it is outside of those things, it's starting just to make less and less sense just to get something just to play with or sit in the corner. I don't know. Extra stuff.
I feel like this is an area we could talk about forever because it's such a modern day like enemy attack. That is just like, oh, so gnarly on our society. And man, I was just at a really beautiful business retreat this last few days. And this woman, Miranda Anderson, just wrote a book called More Than Enough. And she so beautifully speaks to how, you know, you're often just filling this hole that it doesn't stay filled by more and more stuff. And her book is really cool. And she's really inspired me. And I came home, I told the Terry and the kids, I said, guys, I think I'm going on like a 1 year spending. I'm not going to buy myself anything. You know, that's not like a consumable good. Like, you know, and you should have seen the kids. They were like, what? Like, Mom, our birthdays are coming. Christmas is coming. And I was like, don't worry. I'm just going to do it for myself the first year. But you could tell it was like this shock to them. They were like, but so I know that they'll be able to adopt, you know, I'll learn from it after they see me obviously do it for a year. Yeah. And then Terry already does live like you live very, very simply. So anyways, that's a good subject. So, okay, we better get moving. We got two more points. All right. Talk to us about time outdoors and, you know, the importance of just getting our kids' feet in the earth and in the ocean and lakes and like traveling, like what does that look like for you guys and how do you view it as just like an important part of your family that helps you lead a balanced life?
Oh, we love time in nature. And I know that that's easy for us to say because we do live in like pretty much an endless summer. But a few years ago, I read this book called There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather. I can't remember the author's name right now, but it has this cute little Scandinavian cover. It was really changing for me because even though that it's usually nice here, if we did have a rainy day or something, I'm like, oh, it's wet out, we can't get wet, you know. And I immediately am like, we're buying rain boots, we're like, or run around outside in your swimsuit, I don't care, like just embracing all the weather. And like, it just it's so good for our kids, it's so good for their creativity, for their brains, for their bodies. They sleep better at night. And so do we, you know. I mean, just being out in nature is just a reset, you know, for stress or a bad day or an argument. Or it's, we love being outside.
Yeah, and for me, like living out here in Hawaii, I get to surf, you know, as much as possible. And when I do get in the water, it's just like this full on like recharge session. Like, yeah, I'm surfing, I'm being active, but man, it's just like I come home and I'm like, okay, like I can conquer the world now. Like I can do anything. Like,
yes.
And I'm just like, where, man, that's weird. Like, where did that come from? And you know, it's funny just doing a little research on what nature does to you. And there's just scientific facts that you start learning about being outdoors and what it actually does to your physical body. And it's so cool.
Even just getting your bare feet on the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
Like that's where the term like being grounded comes from. Yeah. It's like having bare feet on the ground and feeling like, not to get all super weird, but like to feel the energy of the earth and like what God has created. And it's like the moment you do that, you're like, wow, you feel very connected and you feel very alive, which is really nice. So
yes, 100%.
And you can also sometimes feel, I mean, maybe not in Maui as much, but and I guess we're not that far removed, but like it can feel countercultural even here. Like I try to get in the water, you know, several times a week, and it's funny, you still get looks of people that are like, oh, going surfing, huh? Going to the beach. Like I'm busy. Wow. Like, you know, and I mean, maybe some of that is self-imposed too. Like maybe I'm like, maybe they're not saying that. I think they're saying that.
Right. But, their tone. Yeah.
But it's funny how like, it's like, yeah, I'm taking care of myself. I'm resetting and I'm going to come back a better person. And, it's amazing because it totally works, you know, whether it's, you know, wherever you are, you don't have to have an ocean to get in, but it's like, do the jog, do the hike, do the thing that somehow, you know, disconnects you from whatever thought pattern you had going on at work or school or whatever you're into at the moment, just to kind of break it up and get some oxygen moving.
Yeah. And so many kids these days really do have a nature deficit because every moment they're on the device or they're watching the TV or they're inside, it's less time they have in nature, which is that natural reset. We always say, you know, nature soothes everybody's souls, but especially our children. So I am going to find that book. I'll make sure Laura finds that book and we link it in the show notes for everybody.
It's so good. I feel like especially if you live somewhere with weather, it can it can feel discouraging, and just the encouragement she had for that. It was,
That'd be great.
So good.
Yeah, it's and huge.
I'd also encourage parents listening too. It's like, your kids might give you pushback on going and doing some of these things. Do it anyways, because you'll find that once they're actually out of the house, away from whatever they were doing, and they get there, they're like, ah, that's where they needed to be. And they just kind of just, they get in the groove. But if you, kind of just say, oh, they don't want to go, or that just seems like a hurdle or whatever, like, you'll never reap the benefit. Gotta do it.
And let them hold you accountable too. Like, we've been trying to make like beach school, like homeschool beach schools, like one day a week.
Oh, that's
awesome. I had it on the calendar this week, and you know, Tuesday morning rolled around, I was like, oh, I have stuff to do. I want to finish working on these recipes and all this. And kids look at the schedule. It's beach school day. And you know, they got me out the door, and it was the best beach day I've had in a long time. And I just was like, I needed this, you know, like the rest of the stuff can wait. It wasn't that important.
Hey families, I'm pausing this episode just to make sure you know where you can go. If you want to join me for Kate Northrup's Relaxed Money Financial Healing Workshop happening April 23rd through 25th, it's completely free. And it's a 3-day live stream event where she's going to teach you all about nervous system regulation and how to identify where in your life you might be operating from a lack mindset when it comes to your finances, and also just become more conscious of maybe some limiting beliefs that you have around money, and also really become intentional about what you want to hand down to your children when it comes to generational cycles around finances and money. So you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Or you can head over to Instagram, I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and just shoot me a DM with the word relax, and I will help you get registered for Kate's free workshop. But I am a proud affiliate partner of Kate's programs, because she just really has radically transformed my own life. And I'm just so excited for you also to learn with Kate all that she has to teach about nervous system regulation and healing and abundance when it comes to your own finances. All right, enjoy. And I will personally be at every single day of that workshop. So when you're there, make sure you say hello to me in the comments, because I'll be there also learning with Kate. All right, freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Enjoy.
That's so good. Yeah, I always even encourage parents, like, definitely see the documentary Race to Nowhere if you've got, you know, kids younger in elementary school. But I always say, it's so, like, don't play the homework game. Like, I'd rather have you have your kids in trees, having healthy meals and going to bed on time than forcing them to do their homework. Well, I always... And like, and that documentary is so beautiful at supporting you and like not buying into that, that like, you know, the domestic schools, you know, that it's just, it's hard. So many parents I work with are like, but they're supposed to do homework. And it's like, no, they're supposed to be in trees. They're supposed to be eating healthy and they're supposed to be having time connecting with you at night without meltdowns over forced math. Like just tonight, our little guy was like, Mom, oh my gosh, I haven't done... Like, I'm supposed to have, like, 80% in this and this, and he's in third grade. And I was like, buddy, don't worry about it. Like, cool, we'll let your teacher know you did the best you could, and we're good. Like, so that's a whole nother avenue, but I know that documentary is really good to support parents in making sure you're prioritizing the right thing, and time in nature is one of them.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, so our last and most important point is talk to us about how... your strong faith and leaning on Jesus to really guide you guys as you parent with compassion and grace and kindness and connection and, of course, firmness has really just, you know, been everything for you guys. And I have to tell you, like, I get excited, you know, finding wonderful families like your guys's who are positive parenting, you know, doing, like, living this style of life and advocating for positive parenting and gentle parenting. But then I really get excited when I learn that, you know, like, you guys are a Christian family and you're on the same page. And I know you love L.R. Nose, the author of Jesus the Gentle Parent, just as much as I do. And I just get so fired up because as a teacher in this space, we at Fresh Start Family, we have a course called Jesus Guided Parenting, and I teach a lot in the Christian world. It just feels very like we're outcasts. But then I you know, we find you guys and we're like, we're not outcasts. I get so fired up. So tell me about you know, how you feel like your parenting and your faith is beautifully aligned and all that good stuff.
Ooh, the good one. Yeah. I mean, I think that we are our kids' first experience with God. You know, like so many adults who have issues with God or in their faith, it stems back to, like, how can I view God as a loving father when I didn't have a loving father? I think God is this strict dictator because that's who my dad was. And not that we need to be God to them, obviously. Right. They, you know, we should need to teach them that we make mistakes too and that only God can truly satisfy them. But just to be an example of God's grace, his loving kindness, his gentleness, is him being quick to forgive us and to not shame us and hold this stuff over us. I feel like, or to isolate us even, you know, like God doesn't just send us off to, you know, like, you are bad and shameful and you did something terrible and I have to remove myself from you because of the way you behaved. Right. You know, like he doesn't treat us that way. And so, I mean, what a, you know, that was so convicting for us to not treat our kids that way. And, you know,
And did you guys, like, had you been able to align that and really, you know, be firm and confident? Like, obviously we both are now, but like how did you learn that? Cause I feel like so many of us are taught a very different way that literally breaks my heart. And it wasn't till I found L.R. Nost book, Jesus the Gentle Parent, and then now there's a lot more books out there that are so beautifully supporting of, you know, how this work is perfectly in line with our faith. But how did you, like, what did that look like for you? Or did you just naturally start to look at it and go, this is, like, this is not in line with, like, maybe the way it was done in the past, or, like, or was it L.R. Nost book, or how did it look for you guys?
I think it just was in my nature. I think that I felt like I was having to parent against my nature when I was trying to do it by the book of the, you know, the way the rest of the world was telling me, or the way that, you know, so many of these traditional Christian parenting books say to do it, you know, it's like break their spirit and all this stuff. And I just was like, at some point I need to stop listening to all these experts and listen to the Lord. Like, how is he calling me to be a mom? Mm-hmm. How is he telling me to, like, handle my specific child and this specific situation? Because, you know, like, he's his own person, and how I handle that thing with him might be a little bit different than how I handle it with my daughter in 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think just, like, asking the Holy Spirit, like, what do you want me to do right now? And, like, guide me. And he will. And he's so faithful. And he loves our kids so much. And I think that he's going to guide us in loving and gentle parenting anytime we ask.
Mm-hmm. And for me, like, it was so interesting to just kind of go back to the source of, like, man, how does God parent us? And I just started realizing, I'm like, wow, God's super gentle. Like, you know, like, he's not harsh by any means. Like, you know, and you read in John 3, and it's like, for God did not send his son to come in to condemn the world, but he came to rescue us. Like,
yes,
God's not a condemning father who wants to just, like, you know, the stereotypical God in the sky just throwing lightning bolts at us. It's like, yes. he's not that guy. Like, and, you know, he wants to, you know, the thing that he hates the most is separation. Like, and so he wants to be with us. And so the fact of the matter that God doesn't separate from us when we, you know, do something wrong or whatever it is like, oh,
keeps the connection.
He keeps the connection there and then gently moves us into truth. Like, and so with our kids, that's what we've been learning how to do is even if they do make a mistake, we can sympathize with them and go, hey buddy, like, Daddy was a kid one time, and I've done the same thing.
Yes,
like,
yep. Or we did that last week.
Yeah. Like, or, you know, it's just like, I've experienced that before, but the cool thing is now I get to walk through that with him and stay connected and go, hey, let's work out a solution. Like, what would be a better way to handle this next time? Or what's a better response to, you know, someone taking your toy or this or that? And then it gets their brains working of like, oh, we're teaching them problem solving, like to where they're learning how to do this on their own. And so it's been really fun to watch with our kids. They're incredible at it. I mean, they're not perfect. They're still young. They're 9 and 6, but like just to watch their brains just, you know, fire off when things don't go their way. And then they start problem solving and they're, yes. And then they fix it. And then they fix it amongst themselves. And you're like, wow, this makes my job a lot easier right now. But like, it was a lot of work, you know, like Jenna said, it's not a quick fix. It's a lot of, it takes a little bit more time to sit and, you know, have that talk and explain things and wrestle through things with their, you know, with their young minds and really just coach them in that and love them through that. And so
that's the best payoff.
Oh, it is. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. I think also recognizing your own pains and fears and mm-hmm. trauma and things in your life and making sure you're not parenting out of those mm-hmm. because I mean, we're human. I think that most of us do that. And it's our first reaction or natural reaction to parent out of our emotions, you know? And I think just like having that check, like, why did I get frustrated? Why was this so upsetting for me when you did this thing wrong? And making sure we're not parenting out of our own fear or anger or whatever the emotion is, you know, and like letting God heal those things and like asking him like, hey, what's the truth about this? Mm-hmm. Okay. They weren't just out to get me and trigger this thing. Like,
yep.
In my life, you know, so.
Oh, so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Well, I know as a teacher in that space, I am so excited to have another family that I can just point my students to and just to encourage other families with and say, hey, look, here's somebody else that'll encourage you on the journey as you're learning, as you're, because it's just so important and it's, thank you guys for sharing all that. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I think your takeaways too of like, you know, looking at who God is and some of the traits there, it's like, there's that one too of just patient. Like, how patient is he with us?
Yeah. Oh,
and
thank goodness.
With everybody's, you know, mistakes and how jacked up everybody is. And then where did he send his son and who did he send him to hang out with? He hung out with everybody, the worst of the worst and everybody, and was just patient. So having the opportunity, like you were saying, to introduce the idea of who God is to our kids as a very powerful God, but with his aim towards using that power for love and peace, mm-hmm. because that's what he is. And just quite, you know, if that's all I can do for my kids is say, you know, when you think about Jesus, it's love and peace and super powerful. Like, mm-hmm. great. I've done my thing.
Yeah. And I can see why it gets so confusing for people because, like, you know, I just today with like my small group, we just finally got through the Old Testament. We started the first of the year, you know, we finally got through, we're starting the New Testament. It can be so confusing, right? Like, I mean, there is wrath, there is like power, there is whew, Old Testament's intense. But yeah. Then there's Jesus. Like as Christians, we are little Christ, right? Like, we are called to be little Christ. Like, this is who we're modeling after, and this is who we can look to and receive such clear guidance, right? Yeah. And I think if we just stay in that space, like, this is who we are modeling our lives after, and how did he teach? How did he encourage? How did he rise people up and out of sin instead of punish and expel wrath? Like, it's just, to me, it's like, whew, as long as we stay centered on Jesus, I think it's so much easier to get on board with things. But I just have so much compassion for families who are trying to figure it out and are unsure, and they just want so bad to honor the Lord, but they're very confused because they have culture in the past and all of these books out there that preach a very different message. And then, and then they get, you know, they hear from people like us. And so, you know, I love encouraging all families. But it's like Jesus to me, it's like Jesus. so good. Yeah, you guys.
He calls out who we are and who he sees in us is never all these lies that, you know, we tell to ourselves and the shame and all this. Like, I want to do that for my kids too. I don't want to say like, you're so bad and you go think about this. This is terrible. I mean, it's good to think about it, but you know, like, he's like, you know, for us to come to our kids and say like, that's not who you are. You are patient and you are kind and you are a leader and you are a problem solver. If we call those things out in our kids, like, what a different message we're sending than you're this terrible thing, that terrible thing. You made this mistake. You did this. Like,
I don't respond well to that.
No, that doesn't define you. That, you know, that's what the enemy wants you to believe, but that's not how he defines you.
No. Oh, man. Another subject we could go on and on about, but oh my gosh, we have to wrap it up soon. So this, oh my, such a good conversation, you guys. I just feel so blessed to have spent the last 50 minutes with you guys. Gosh, it's like, I want to ask you about so many other things. I know you guys are such amazing foster care advocates. Like, do you have a little foster baby right now? Are you allowed to talk about that or your work? Like, your passion for that? Maybe just give us like a little snippet of like what the Lord's called you to do with foster care. And then we'll kind of let our listeners know where they can find you and follow you guys and follow along with your blog. But I would love to just hear a little bit about the amazing stuff that is going on that front.
Yeah. Oh man, that's hard to put into a quick thing.
I know.
we don't have a foster child at the moment. And we're actually not even 100% sure right now what we're doing. So we're just open to whatever the Lord is asking right now. So, but what it began with God very clearly saying like, okay, I want you to take a foster baby. And so, you know, I was like, okay. So I start researching foster care and like sign up to have a lady come over to our house and all this. And Nate comes home from work that night and I was like, hey babe, I think we're supposed to do foster care.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh.
And that was like,
so I just became vegan last week.
Luckily there was a little bit of space between that, but it was funny. It had literally just got into like full on like cruise mode where like
kids are so easy.
Kids are sleeping through the night. They're out of diapers. It's like, I'm getting to surf a little bit more. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah. This is great. Come home from filming a wedding. And Jenna's like, I think we're supposed to do foster care. And I'm like, oh, okay. And of course I can't be like, no, like,
right.
Because it's very like, well, that's like a really like noble thing to think of. And I know that God speaks to my wife and I'm like, I can't argue. There's no way out of this. Like, it definitely kind of caught me by surprise for sure. But it was definitely one of those things where once I like spent some time with the Lord and just asked him about it, like, what do you want me to know about this? He was very, very comforting. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, I've taken care of you your whole life. Like, why do you think I'm not going to be able to take care of you in doing this? Like, yeah, it's going to be different, but it's going to be one of the best things you've ever experienced.
Yeah.
So, and it was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So cool.
And awesome.
That is so, so cool. Well, that's just like an extra snippet that I think, snippet a word?
There's a snippet.
Oh, snippet.
And there's a tidbit. But you just needed the snippet. Sounds like something you'd buy on a QVC. Today we got the snippet.
Yeah, it's just a bit. Well, it's just like another amazing, like just beautiful, very cool, interesting thing about you guys. But we could go on and on. We could uncover probably like 50 more amazing, interesting, really cool things about you guys. But for the sake of time, we'll wrap it at that. If you guys could tell us, tell the listeners where they can go find you on Instagram or Facebook, social media, what your blog looks like, and even tell us about your creative company, Nate, too. That'd be great.
So, I run a wedding filmmaking company out here in Maui called Sunlit Films, and I've been doing that for the past 7 years. And yeah, love my job. It's amazing. So on Instagram, it's just at Sunlit Films.
Your work is beautiful, really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
And then our blog, our website is With the Strubars, and Strubar is Strubhar. So let's just come along with us as we are learning more about mindful living in all aspects of life. So, and there's a link to my Instagram, Jenna Strubar, on the website as well.
Beautiful. And we'll make sure we link all of those things in the show notes page too. But thank you guys so much again for taking time out of your day to spend with us. And just thanks for doing everything that you're doing.
Of course. Thank you for having us. Yeah. We love your podcast.
It was wonderful.
Yay. For more information and all of the links to what we talked about in today's episode, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/37. That's freshstartfamilyonline.com/37.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free discipline quick start learning bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start Family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift, and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.